Now, please turn into your Bibles to the passage we're going to be studying later on. We've been working our way through the book of Leviticus, looking at various sections of it. And we've reached chapter 16 of the book of Leviticus. It's on page 118 in the blue church Bibles, page 108. In the brown ones. And uniquely in this study, we're going to just look at one chapter on its own, not representative of any others, just chapter 16, stands alone. We're going to look at the Day of Atonement, Leviticus chapter 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area, with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments and a sash round him, and put on the linen turban. These are the sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense, and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the testimony, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood, and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people, and take its blood behind the curtain, and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place, because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of the meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on all the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and to consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place, and he is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in a holy place and put on his regular garments. Then he shall come out and sacrifice the burnt offering for himself and the burnt offering for the people, to make atonement for himself and for the people. He shall also burn the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The man who releases the goat as a scapegoat must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterwards he may come into the camp. The bull and the goat for the sin offerings, whose blood was brought into the most holy place to make atonement, must be taken outside the camp. Their hides, flesh, and offal are to be burned up. The man who burns them must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterwards, he may come into the camp. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native born or an alien living among you. Because on this day atonement will be made for you, to cleanse you. Then before the Lord you will be clean from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. The priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father as high priest is to make atonement. He is to put on the sacred linen garments and make atonement for the most holy place, for the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the people of the community. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. And it was done as the Lord commanded Moses. Well, we should come back to that, look at that passage later on. Do please then turn to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Page 118 in the blue Bibles, page 108 in the brown. Can you remember what was happening 50 years ago? Ah, some of you can say, "Ah, no, I wasn't alive 50 years ago." What great relief. But for those of us who can look back that far, it doesn't seem very long. It's only 50 years since the greatest joke ever told on a British sitcom graced our screens. "Don't tell him, Pike," said Captain Mannering in Dad's Army. Ah, but there were other important things. There was great mourning and weeping in Dunstable Grammar School as England failed to qualify for the 1974 World Cup, defeated by Poland. We had a couple of Polish lads in the sixth form, and they didn't seem to share our disappointment at all. They seemed quite chuffed about things, really. The Watergate scandal that brought down President Nixon was at its height. A three-day week at the end of the year meant that we only got power in our houses on two or three days a week. Had to use the light of candles to play cards with my dad. But earlier in that year, there had been a war. A war in the Middle East, when Egypt, Syria, and Jordan had attacked Israel, tried to drive Israel from the face of the Atlas, and nearly succeeded, because they attacked on Yom Kippur. It's known as Yom Kippur War in 1973. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when the most sacred day for the Jewish people who lived in Israel, and who would be taking that day off to think in contemplation. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is the subject of this chapter. And it's a complicated and full chapter, isn't it? Full of amazing symbolism. But that's what it is. It's symbolism. It's a promise of something, not a fulfillment of something. It's a shadow of something that will really happen in the future. And as we look at this chapter and we think about the Day of Atonement tonight, take that as the main thought. This is the shadow, not the reality. It's a promise of something that is to be fulfilled. It's a wonderful day in many ways because it has deep solemnity and the reassurance of forgiveness from God. Verse 30 of Leviticus 16. What a promise. Because on this day of atonement, on this day atonement we made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord you will be clean from all your sins. On that day, this event will clean you that day. But it's only a shadow of what Jesus would do at his crucifixion. And that's unequivocally clear from many references in the book of Hebrews. So we're going to look forward from the Day of Atonement to Calvary and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus later on in the words I'm going to say. But before we do that, we don't want to imagine that the Israelite people to whom this was first given were going through some sort of play-acting routine. They weren't engaged in something that was meaningless to them, saying, well, what was all that about then? No, this had reality for them. They were asked to engage in something that had immediate meaning for them. What did it show them? The symbol, the shadow. That still carried a message for them. It taught them about sin. It taught them that sin was detestable to God. Detestable. You know, when sin was to be dealt with, a death of a beast needed to take place. And there are sacrifice upon sacrifice on this day, isn't there? Bulls, rams, goats. They needed to be sacrificed in punishment for the sin which was the people's own. It told them that sin was detestable and that before atonement could be achieved, a price had to be paid. It told them that sin was pervasive. Did you notice that everything involved needed atonement, needed sacrifices? Aaron himself, even the man who took the goat out into the desert, had to be cleansed. The man who dealt with the ashes, he had to be cleansed. The Holy of Holies, the tabernacle, the tents in which they met, they had to be dealt with. Sin was pervasive. It touched everything. Everything that sinful mankind, and the Israelites were sinful, that's said a number of times, that became unclean too. So they were learning that sin was detestable and it was pervasive. They learned that no human was without sin. Aaron the high priest, you know, the top of the pile in the religious life of the nation, the one they were supposed to look up to, he was stripped of his clothes, he washed, put on clean garments. He still needed sacrifices for himself. No human was without sin. The people knew these things perhaps in their hearts, but they were demonstrated before them by the actions of this day. But they also learnt something else. They learnt that God was merciful to sinners. That same man, Aaron, had failed in his own life on a number of occasions, failed God. His children had failed him. Chapter 16 and verse 1 sets the scene, doesn't it? They had failed God. Yet here he was, still high priest. Atonement for sin was possible. God was merciful and could be gracious, not only to Aaron, but to the children of Israel, the people of the time. But the Israelites also learnt this by this day. It's repetition year after year told them that sin was not finally or completely atoned for, even by this ritual. There are loads of other rituals and atonements and sacrifices mentioned in the earlier chapters of Leviticus. And they went on those routine. And then once a year, this special day in which they made this atonement. But that had to be done year after year. They had to look forward in hope to something that God would do in the future that would lead to them, that would lead them to have permanent atonement, would once and for all deal with their separation from God, separation caused by their sin. They had to look forward to that. Had to look forward to the reality that the events of this day suggested was just a shadow. So it was just a shadow of reality. They had to look forward to what we now can see looking back was the first Good Friday. So this day had meaning for the people who saw it. But for those of us standing this side, time-wise, this side of the first Good Friday, when Jesus was sacrificed for our sins, we can see the reality. So we're going to follow through the course of this day to see how superior and final was the reality of that proper day of atonement, which we call Good Friday. Not Yom Kippur, but Good Friday. That's the real Day of Atonement. I'm going to ask Jill to put a diagram up here. What I'm going to do is go through this day, this chapter, which counts the day bit by bit, and talk about where Aaron is moving into and out from. And I hope that this this plan here will help you see the comings and goings of the goats and the bulls and Aaron and the men. There'll be lots of references forward into the New Testament, particularly the book of Hebrews and the writings of John. I don't suggest that you try to follow them all. They'll be coming at you pretty hard and fast. I've made a list of the comparisons between this chapter and sort of New Testament references, and that's on a sheet of paper that you can find at the back of the church on the way out if you want to take one home. It doesn't mean you don't have to listen to me now. You need to follow through. But we'll be going back and forth. So let's dive into what's happening on this Day of Atonement. Verse 3 first. Aaron arrives, comes from outside where he's living, and he arrives with his offerings for his own sin. And he enters the sanctuary, enters this space, this tabernacle, with offerings for his own sin. But Christ doesn't have any sin that he has to bring offerings for. He is without sin. We read that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. We do not have a high priest, that's Jesus, who is unable to sympathise with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So he doesn't have to bring sin offerings for himself, like Aaron did. Christ was made sin for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 7 tell them. And Paul, dwelling upon that, says Jesus was made a curse for us. In his original state, when he came to Good Friday, he had no sin. And therefore, pure as he was, he could enter heaven to plead for us. Aaron is going to go in to this tent, this sacred space. More so Jesus, he could go into heaven. He says this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary, That was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Aaron was going into this tabernacle, this tent, to appear for the people. Christ has gone in to heaven to appear for us. Now, verse 4. Aaron removes his usual garments. This is Leviticus chapter 16, verse 4. Aaron removes his usual daytime garments, washes, and puts on clean, plain linen. He, like us, is impure and bound to die. But Christ was pure. Not only is he clean, he was pure. Chapter 7 and verse 26 of Hebrews. Such a high priest as Jesus meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Aaron wasn't set apart from sinners. He was a sinner just the same. But Jesus wasn't. He was different. Let me move on to verses 5 to 9 here in Leviticus 16. Aaron, having washed and changed, goes out and accepts from the people a ram and two male goats. There are going to be sacrifices not just for Aaron, but for the people, for the others. When Jesus came and sacrificed himself, it wasn't for himself, but it was definitely for others. I was delighted to see the memory verse from 1 John being put up on the screen before the meeting. We hadn't colluded, Jill and I, it just was right. Because we read this in 1 John 1. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. His sacrifice was for others, for us, who are sinners by nature. The day moves on. In verse 10, still outside the tabernacle, lots are cast for the two goats that the people have brought. Now, one goat goes inside the tabernacle with Aaron. Christ, we are told, enters a greater tabernacle than this one. He actually enters heaven. Here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 11 and 12, we read this. Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here. He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Christ enters heaven to plead for his people. Are you one of his people? Where he is standing for you in heaven, and before his Father God is saying, this individual is mine. Bring him to be in heaven with us. Having gone back inside the tabernacle, Aaron, in verses 11 to 14, sacrifices the bull for himself. And with its blood, he takes two handfuls of incense. And as this burns, it creates a cloud which hides God from Aaron's sight. He goes into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God is deemed to be. If he did that and saw God, he'd be struck dead. But this cloud hides the presence of God from his sight, and so he doesn't die. Christ has no need to be hidden from God. He has come from heaven, where he dwells with God his Father and God the Holy Spirit. He sees the Father day by day, talks to him. They have perfect communion together. We read this in John chapter 1. No one has ever seen God. Aaron certainly didn't. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus Christ is there with his Father in heaven, seeing him, fellowshipping with him, day by day, and with the Holy Spirit as well. Aaron comes out of the Holy of Holies, slaughters the goat in verses 15 to 17. He leaves the Holy of Holies. He slaughters the goat for the people and repeats his entrance to the Holy of Holies. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, we read this. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Christ's unblemished sacrifice achieves complete satisfaction to God, complete security for others. Verses 18 to 19. Returning to the court outside the Holy of Holies, Aaron makes atonement for the tent of meeting, sprinkling the blood. He makes atonement for the altar and all that has been touched, made by man, touched by man, serviced by man. That everything that mankind has touched has been made unclean. And so Aaron has to make atonement for it, even the things of the tent, you know, the fabric of the tent. But Jesus Christ has the opposite effect. Come to him and you are made clean. Ordinary mankind brings uncleanness to everything. It can't satisfy God. But Jesus can. That's 1 John 1:9 again, isn't it? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then in verses 20 to 23, in the presence of the people, Aaron lays his hand, both hands, on the head of the live goat, the one when the lots were cast that stayed outside, that didn't go in the tabernacle. And this live goat is sent off into the desert, taken off into the desert by somebody who will ensure that it doesn't come back. So it goes off into the desert from which it will never return. Symbolically, it's showing that the sin that has been taken away by the sacrifice is taken away forever, dealt with, won't come back, completely gone. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. As the goat is symbolically taking away their sins into the desert, Jesus Christ actually takes away. As far as the east is from the west, is that not right, Jeff? Yeah? And forever. Quoting the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, the writer to the Hebrews says these words from God: I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. It's completely dealt with, taken away, remembered no more. Verses 23 through to 25. Aaron returns inside the tabernacle. He removes his linen, the special garments he wore for this day. He washes. He puts on his usual garment and begins to offer up sacrifices once again. The system that had pertained up until that day continues on now. For all its powerful symbolism, this is only a symbol. It's not finally cured sin. They've got to bring sacrifices the next day and the next day. And a year on, they'll have to go through the Day of Atonement again. Aaron must work on. It's not time for him to relax and sit down and take it easy. Job done. But what about the Lord Jesus Christ? In Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verses 11 through to 14. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away his sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down. Job done. He's there in heaven, from where he will come again to bring his people to be with him. So Aaron's work goes on, but so does the work of other people. Verses 26 through to 28. The ritual of cleansing continues for all those who've been involved in this ceremony. The man who clears away the offal and the ashes, the one who takes the goat out, they have to be clean. No one is fully cleaned from their sin by these actions. Yet Christ promised and fulfilled complete freedom from sin. In John chapter 8 and verse 36, he says, I got it right, John chapter 8 and verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And Paul dwells on that in Romans chapter 8. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. This Old Testament symbolism is all about law and death. The animals died because we deserve, sinful people deserve to die. Set free from that. What the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son to be a sin offering. And we come to verses 29 to 34, the end of Leviticus chapter 16. This must all be repeated again next year, and the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that, and all the way down through the ages until the real Day of Atonement comes. And the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus puts an end to the need for all this, because he has paid that perfect price, made that perfect sacrifice, attained that full freedom. It was necessary then, says the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 9. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Jesus offered his own, didn't he? Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that is to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The real day of atonement has taken place. The shadow is gone, the reality has arrived. How sad that in 1973, and indeed in 2023, Jewish people are still remembering and practicing the Day of Atonement. The real Day of Atonement has happened. They and we can have all the benefits that Jesus has brought by his sacrifice on the cross that first Good Friday, if we will put our trust in him. And if we do that, then all our sin is taken away. We have full freedom. An eternal, joyful, full life in heaven can be ours. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. What a wonderful God we have. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise his name, don't we? Let's sing a final hymn. It's number 367. 367. Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. We talk about Jesus as the creator. We talk about Jesus over sin, the mighty conqueror. But in verse 2, Jesus is Lord, yet from his throne eternal, in flesh he came, to die in pain on Calvary's tree. Jesus is Lord, from him all life proceeding, yet gave his life a ransom, thus setting us free. Has he done that for you? Let's sing this together. Let's sing 367 together.